Quorum is present. Members, we've got three orders of business, I guess, to deal with. We have four customary closing resolutions to deal with. They're concurrent resolution number 10, number 9, number 20. Concurrent resolution number 10 and 9, and then Senate resolution number 24 and 23. I believe we can adopt them as one motion. Conduct of business during the interim, delivery bills to the governor, notifying the House that the Senate is about to adjourn sine die, and notifying the governor that the Senate is about to adjourn sine die. So Senator Seidman moves that on behalf of the committee, Majority Leader and the Minority Leader be instructed to introduce the foreclosing resolutions for consideration by the Senate. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 If no, the motion prevails. The other issue in front of us is the interim travel expenses and per diem. There's a memo that we sent it out yet?
Yeah.
It's has it been sent out to the I don't believe it's been sent out to the members yet, but it's just a, I will sign this after the committee adopts it. These are the normal and customary procedure for paying a per diem mileage and travel. So these would be the instructions that are given to Senate Fiscal to process
resolution
payments during the interim. This memo.
Oh, number 5.
Just adopting.
We adopted the 4 already.
One motion.
Yep. Yes. I think so. Senator Seidman moved all
very
four
efficient.
Of them. The date
I'm
going to be approved.
Moving quick.
I'm on the
point
of listening.
That's insane.
It's a pretty jacket.
Mr. Chair.
Paying attention.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, the
unusual
portions of this memo are reflected in other resolutions we've already passed.
Council says yes.
So, Mr. Chair, we would be voting on this as though it were a resolution.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fischbach, in the past, this has not been treated as a Senate resolution. This is simply guidance for fiscal services from the Rules Committee on how to handle payments of per diem, guidance from the Majority Leader on how it will be administered. It's a set of directions underlying things
not
like
today,
the amount of per diem and eligibility for it are taken care of elsewhere in Senate resolutions that have already been adopted.
And so, Mr. Chair, and possibly Mr. Bonner, the bottom of the first page, it says reimbursement is authorized as follows. I guess I just don't recall if that is all in a resolution somewhere, all of those specific item places where you can get.
Because we get 5 months next year.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senator Fischbach, I guess I'll point out two things. One, this is in the form it has been customarily in the past from biennium to biennium. And really what this is an explanation of how the per diem payments are approved by the majority that are pursuant to the terms of the resolution. But you're right. These items add further detail.
And so, Mr. Chair, are we actually voting on this then?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fischbach, in the past, the Rules Committee has approved these memoranda.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Bonner, essentially does take the form of a resolution then as well.
So, but it's not about the
committee direct. Mr. Chairman and Senator Fischbach, you could say that. Yeah. Why I can't give you the exact history on why it's not done in the form of a resolution as opposed to a memorandum, but it will have the effect.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Bonner, you can work on that over the interim.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, on this memorandum that I'm seeing before us, one of the articles is regarding our per diem per day reimbursement rate. I know that this is a reduction from a few years ago when the Senate considered and passed a motion to lower the per-day reimbursement rate due to the fact that we were facing severe budget deficits. Since that time, deficits have gone away. We actually are experiencing a little bit of a surplus this year. I don't have a motion by any means, but I think as we get toward the end of this year, I think it it's a logical conclusion to at least revisit that issue sometime in the near future, perhaps by the end of the year. It's a legitimate one to consider, and certainly one that now that we're out of some very dire financial circumstances, that it would be something that the Senate should reconsider.
Senator Limmer, we'll see what our budget looks like June 30th and see what the current fiscal year, first year of the biennium, looks like. And we are going to incur some additional costs in this year because of NCSL coming here, so I'm sure we're going to have some additional costs with members for lodging, because we're going to want members from Minnesota to participate there. So we're going to have some additional costs in this next, and we'll try to get our arms around how much that is.
What are the dates on that?
We wouldn't normally have.
August 19th to the 23rd.
Mid-August.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Senator Newman.
We are, just a little bit on that, Mr. Chairman, is we actually, we pay for 40 people to go in that. That's part of our agreement with NCSL. We only have to pay for 40, and then we don't have as many people as we
want. But that includes the house.
That includes the house, right.
Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, is there mileage that can be paid for a certain length of time immediately following sine die for constituent services? And is that, if there is, I was thinking that we were reimbursed for mileage for, I don't know, like 30 days or 60 days immediately following going sine die. And if so, is it supposed to be in this document?
Senator Newman, that is in an election year. We normally close off the mileage once the filings for office have concluded. This is not an election year for the Senate, so mileage for constituent and Senate-related business will be paid through the interim up until till January.
Till January. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, on that issue, I'm glad Senator Newman brought it up. I know I've had discussion with members privately, but during the legislative session, many of us are called to speak to constituents going either to events or other activities. Oftentimes, at least in the Twin City area, it's very common to drive outside of our small geographic Senate district to go somewhere to address an issue, let's say a county board meeting, that you have to drive from your home outside of your legislative district, go to a downtown location of a major metropolitan area, that council meeting, that type of thing. And during legislative sessions, we are barred or prohibited from being reimbursed for mileage. Another issue that I think is a legitimate expense on behalf of all of our legislators, again, something that we should consider sometime as we get into the rest of the year.
Ms. Lunzer, what's the history of mileage during the legislative session?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, our Metro senators don't usually take a round trip like that. And you're saying if you're going out and speaking to a group, you're getting your per diem daily, but in order to get a mileage, you'd have to be doing an authorization. Rule of thumb is if you're outside of the Capitol area, Capitol Complex, we still need an authorization.
Mm-hmm.
It just really hasn't been done during session.
Mm-hmm.
But that our rural members would get the round trips.
Oh.
Not daily, but a monthly. Usually we see about four or five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Senator Sieben moves the memorandum on per diem dated May 14, 2014. Per diem mileage, lodging, and travel expenses. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. No? The motion prevails. And members, this will be mailed out, I believe, to the home addresses of all of the members, including adjournment?
Correct. Mr. Chairman and members, Marie Hawthorne and Sophia Perez in our office are going to hand deliver the interim expenses on the new forms to each member's offices. If we can ask members and staff to recycle the old forms, we have new coding on our forms. So if you can use the new forms, it'll be delivered to your offices Thursday or Friday.
Better do it Thursday. We're gone Friday.
We're happy to do it Thursday, Senator.
Is that an announcement? Are we?
Mr. Chairman, wishful thinking.
That may be wishful thinking on the President's part.
Uh-oh.
I have a hot date.
Senator Thomasoni and Senator Limmer would like to stay for one more day of per diem. Bipartisanly. Thank you, Ms. Lunder.
Thank you.
The other business to take care of is we thought the last time that we approved an invoice on the litigation that we were involved in over the last year, commonly referred to, I guess, as the Broadcorp suit. We thought that that was all paid in full, only to find out that there was going to be one more invoice for destroying documents, apparently, and maybe Senate counsel can tell us a little summary. We've got an itemized statement of what work was done, and I understand this is supposed to be now the final invoice. Counsel?
Mr. Chairman, members, that's correct. Ms. Nolan of the Larkin firm has told me this will indeed be the final invoice. The work you'll see reflected on the invoice, almost all of it, is for compliance with the protective order entered by the court. Much of that consisted in making sure that certain documents that were designated as highly confidential or confidential were properly protected. In addition, I guess I'll say there was a fair amount of communication that was necessary with others involved with litigation in one form or another, such as court reporters or videographers, to verify that they complied. And finally, a fair amount of communication with opposing counsel to ensure that they had, in fact, complied with the order.
And in the amount of?
I think the total amount for the invoice that you'll see, Mr. Chairman, is $7,251.95. Wow. Work done through February 20th.
Anybody want to ask for a cumulative total? Just north of $400,000, I think, was the cumulative total to defend the Senate. Senator Stephen doesn't look like she wants to make the motion.
It's a lot of money for a shredder.
Could have bought a fax or a shredder.
I got a cheap shredder.
How much does a gallon of gas and a match cost?
Well, let's do this bipartisanly. Senator Hand moves the payment of the final invoice from the Larkin Hoffman firm in the amount of $7,251.95. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Members, that's all I have on the agenda. Our intent would be to have another Rules Committee meeting. We're tentatively looking at June 19th, and the main order of business would be to consider what, and I'll be meeting with Senator Hamm between now and then to talk about what we're going to do for our Senate employees in the area of pay raises or other stipends that would be effective on July 1st. So, Senator Hamm?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, before we adjourn, I did want to ask one other question. Is that proper to do that now, or have you got other? And maybe, Mr. Bodern, you can help with this. I'm not sure what the right process is. I guess what I'd like to ask is that the Rules Committee, and whether it's, I don't know if it's a motion, Mr. Bodern, this is what I'm asking about. A couple of weeks ago, Mr. Chairman, I wrote a letter expressing concern on behalf of members of our caucus about a member of the press who has been credentialed that we think was done improperly and in violation of our rules, or at least in our opinion. And we think that that individual should be removed, his credentials should be removed as a credentialed media person in the Senate. And so I'm asking, what is the proper step to take if we want to ask the Rules Committee to consider a motion to instruct the Chief Sergeant at Arms to go ahead and follow through with that and remove his credentials? Is that something that the Rules Committee can act on as a motion?
Well, we'll have, as counsel thinks about that, the credentials to the press corps, especially to this I don't know if it was all done the same day, but I did notice that the credentials to the individual were done on December 5th, prior to the December 5th, 2012, after the election, but prior to the constituting a new rules committee. So they were also done under the old rules from the previous biennium. So I do think that the rule doesn't appear like it has a provision in it for removal. It has a notification provision if somebody has credentials, changes, their employment status changes. But I think the rule probably could be improved upon to give the sergeant some authority to maybe monitor maybe and potentially revisit the issue of credentials. But the rule seems silent on that. I absolutely will entertain a conversation when we take a look at new rules for the next biennium to take a look at that issue, because I think we are a little weak there in the authority that the sergeant has. It seems to be kind of a voluntary reporting if an individual's circumstances change. But counsel?
Mr. Chairman, I would agree with your assessment of the provision under Rule 16 for revoking credentials. The rule really doesn't provide a process for that and is more concerned with how the credentials are granted in the first instance. The only thing I might add to what you said is that if there is a concern about the conduct of a particular individual on the Senate floor, I point out that the president and the sergeant and the body retain the authority to ensure the person conducts themselves properly if admitted to the floor.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Mr. Bodden, I'm trying to get some clarification. I guess the point that seems to us is that the credentialing of the individual should not have occurred. And are you saying that under our rules, if that happens and it then becomes known, that there is really nothing that can be done about that? Is that the point that you're getting at?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hahn, I think the rule needs work to clarify how the credentials would be revoked. Right now it's silent on that point.
So Mr. Chairman and Mr. Bodden, if the Rules Committee did entertain such a motion, that would not be a valid instruction to the sergeant to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hahn, there are, I suppose, several options, but one would involve amending the Senate rules to provide the process for revoking the credentials. And I guess I'd say the typical path for that would be introducing a resolution, the normal route that's taken for amending the Senate rules.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Bodden, if today the Senate Rules Committee passed a motion to, if it be as severe as remove the credentials, and it was passed by this Rules Committee, it would be a valid resolution to the issue, I'm assuming. I mean, and maybe Mr. Bodden can help me with that, but I am assuming that if we pass something in this committee, it would need to be done.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fischbach, on first impression, I'm not sure that's entirely true. I'd say that I think the Senate as a body retains the authority to deal with conduct of individuals on the Senate floor. Again, Rule 16 provides some limited authority to the sergeant to issue the credentials, doesn't speak about a process for revoking credentials. I don't know that independent action of the Rules Committee could control access to the Senate floor for any particular individual.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Bodden, even if this committee instructed the sergeant, if it was worded that way, Mr. Chair, Mr. Bodden, my question is there's absolutely, and I think that Senator Hahn was going down this path too, there's absolutely nothing that we can do when there is a violation of the rule.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fischbach, I don't know that I would go that far. Again, this is a question of first impression. I think it's also fair to say it's unprecedented, at least to my knowledge, for the Senate Rules Committee to act to in advance or before any conduct occurs that creates any issue, to issue some form of discipline, revocation of credentials. It's just, it's new territory, and I'm afraid I can't be very helpful.
Senator Hand, do you know, has the individual been on the floor?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonner, the thing that I'm struggling with, I think some of the rest of us are struggling with, at least in our caucus, is that we do have a rule, Senate Rule 16.1A, that says that the sergeant may not issue credentials or day passes to political organizations. And the purpose of the rule, political organization, means an organization owned or controlled by a registered lobbyist, a political party, or any party organization. And the question that we believe is that the person involved fits under that criteria, and so therefore the issuing of credentials was a violation of the rules, even if it wasn't at the time understood to be a violation of the rule. But since, at least in our view, that violation is now in evidence, then my point would be is that since those credentials ought not to have been issued in the first place, there ought to be a way to revoke those credentials. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with the conduct of the individual and on the floor or in the Senate, but simply as a violation of the rule that doesn't permit credentials to be offered to individuals under certain circumstances, which we believe were the case when this person was given a credentialed pass to be a Senate press person.
Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, let me try and phrase the question a little bit differently, and I sincerely do not know the answer to this question. Where does the jurisdiction lie to enforce the rules? Is it within the Rules Committee, or is it within the Senate as a body?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman, I'm reviewing Rule 16 at the moment. What I can tell you is I think the entire rule is drafted to deal with the issuance of credentials in the first instance. If there's a process provided for appeal if the credentials are denied, then I think it's fair to say the rule is silent as far as revoking credentials. Certainly, it seems reasonable to believe that the Senate must have some means of controlling access to the Senate floor, and if the credentials were issued in error or some other mistake were made, there would be some kind of process for reversing that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
I understand if Rule 16.1, Subdivision A, is silent on this issue, the revocation of the credentials. I can understand that. Then it would seem to me that if this committee does not have jurisdiction, I think is what I'm hearing, to address the revocation because the rule is silent, then we'd have to go to the Senate as a body of the whole and introduce a resolution. Would that be correct? Because some place within our body there is jurisdiction to address this question, and I'm searching for the correct.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman, I think it's fundamentally clear if you look at Rule 15 that the Senate can control who is admitted to the Senate chamber, and certainly a resolution could be introduced that would deal with that issue very specifically.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Modern, can you just clarify, are these credentials issued every session newly, or once people have credentials, they have credentials and that's it? Do they?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I think the sergeant or the secretary might be better equipped to tell you how that's been handled from biennium to biennium. I think there is a renewal process, but I don't want to speak for them.
Mr. Chairman, members, the credentials typically are issued at the beginning of or just in anticipation of the beginning of a two-year legislative session. So it's not annually, but typically they'd be issued for a two-year period.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
And by December, we will.
Two-year period.
Anybody that wants to work on a rule change for next December, I'm sure council will be happy to work with you on crafting something that we could consider. June 19th, tentatively, members. Senator Fishbach.
Mr. Chair, just one other question. I didn't get the opportunity to ask you on the floor, but and then Senator Pappas mentioned Friday. What is the plan for the rest of the week?
It is, I would characterize it as out of the control of the Senate. The budget bill, the bonding bill, and the tax bill are all House files. So it is really going to depend on when the House can get that work to us. And then it will be up to us, I guess, and I will, whether I believe the bonding bill is a House file, so when it comes over under the rules, it can't be taken up immediately without suspending the rules. So we would, Senator Hannah and I would have a conversation if there was some interest in doing that. Otherwise, it would have to fly over. Couldn't be taken up the same day or the next day. So.
And Mr. Chair, we're coming in at 10 tomorrow, and I'm assuming we're not doing additional special orders. I mean, maybe. I guess I didn't see a list. But we have, about six conference committees right now. We have, I don't know how many more are reporting. Is the plan just to come in, do conference committees? I guess, and I understand that some of the other, you mentioned some of those other things are out of your hands, but what, we're just going to hang out? What are we going to do for the next
watch
couple of days?
I can remember, when I was a member of the other body, then Majority Leader Plenty used to say, the situation is very fluid. But I do expect there won't be a lot of work to do on the floor until we actually get the three major bills that are left, the bonding bill, the tax bill, and the supplemental budget bill. And that we will have them when the House sends them to us.
And Mr. Chair, I understand that, but Thursday, tomorrow's Thursday, so 10 o'clock tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, assuming we should just all those days.
If the House were to get those bills over tomorrow, and I expect all three of them would be, potentially that could happen. If the Senate wanted to stay tomorrow night into the morning on Thursday, depending how long people wanted to talk about it, I could see a path where we could adjourn sometime late Thursday night or Friday morning if the House got us the work to do. That would require suspension of the rules to be able to accomplish that.
And, Mr. Chair, they've given you no indication. They're doing the bonding bill tomorrow is my understanding. That's well.
I have not been told
that. From Twitter, we all should know exactly what the House is doing from Twitter. But my understanding is they're going to be doing bonding bill tomorrow. But so they have given you no indication.
No, and the supplemental budget conference committee has not concluded their work yet.
Well, Mr. Chair, that would be Senator Cohen, wouldn't it?
Why is he sleeping?
Wake him up.
Senator Cohen's been working very hard this week.
I believe it, but
he hasn't got enough sleep, obviously.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, and to Senator Fishbach's point, I believe from talking to Representative Dowd that the putting on the calendar the bonding bill doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to take it up. They have a rule that requires a 24-hour clock to be initiated, so they posted that to get that clock going in case they were ready, but they may not be ready, is
and,
what I heard.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, are you sure? Because that's not what Twitter said.
The situation must be fluid, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Johnson used to say, keep your powder dry, his expression. So.
In a fluid world.
Okay, hey. Members, this committee's adjourned.
June 19th.